Okay, today's daf is Pesach, well, tomorrow's daf really is Pesach and Daf Ayin Dalet, but we are one day ahead. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. Zelig and Evelyn Weinstein in honor of their daughter Zahava Graf's bas mitzvah, which will be celebrated today. We wish the Graf family and the Weinstein family a tremendous mazel tov. They should see continued nachas from Zahava, Sabrina, Michal, Tamara, from the entire family. We left off at the beginning of the parak. We're up to the beginning of the parak. The Dav Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph at the top. Says the Mishnah. So first of all, what are we going to discuss today? The Mishnah is going to discuss the spit that they would use to roast the Karban Pesach on, what it had to be made out of, and how it would be positioned, how the animal would be positioned on it. The Braisa is going to record the Isser that we've already discussed of eating a Gedima Kulas, a goat prepared the same way as the Korban Pesach is prepared Bizman Azen, and it defines exactly the parameters of that Isser. And then we're going to discuss, Rabbi says that raw, unsalted meat can be used as stuffing for an animal that's being roasted, so the Gemara tries to bring Rayas to his opinion, and comes to a halachic decision about his opinion. And then on Amud Beis, there are going to be several cases all relating to the Isser of eating dam, where we're going to find that Rav Acha is more Makel than Ravina, and that we paskin like the more Makel opinion. And then we have a couple of more cases is relating to consuming blood. So there's a little bit about consuming blood on Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, let's discuss how exactly we position the Korban Pesach when we roast it. What kind of spit do we roast it on? Ketzat Solanes HaPesach. Mevi and Shvud Shel Rimon. So the spit should be made out of wood, out of pomegranate wood. V'toch v'letoch piv ad beis nukavaso. And it's a pole of pomegranate wood that we stick into the animal's mouth, and it comes out of the back side of the animal, the anus of the animal, that's where it comes out from. Venosinus kiravus b'nei meyav letocho div Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds, we take the insides of the animal and leave them inside the animal. We take them out first and rinse them out, and then we put them back inside the animal. Rabbi Kiva omer kimin bishul huzer. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you can't leave everything inside the animal, because then those insides are getting cooked. It's just like cooking something in a pot where it's completely covered. It's surrounded by the pot, it's not exposed to the fire, so it's not being roasted, because it doesn't have any direct exposure to the fire. Elatolim chutzalo. Rather, what you should do is, you should have it outside of where the animal is. That's how you should have it on the way Rashi understands this, it means you should have it on the spit above the animal's head. That's where you should keep the insides of the animal. So first of all, the Panim Yafos brings a raya from our Mishnah that there must not be an Isra of Bal Tashchis when there's a mitzvah that has to be done. The Isra of Bal Tashchis in the Torah is that you're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree. So a rimon, a pomegranate tree, is obviously a fruit-bearing tree, and yet we're supposed to use pomegranate wood. And probably they couldn't find enough pomegranate wood from dead trees and from old trees and from already chopped down trees to make everyone's Korban Pesach. Everybody needed to have a branch from pomegranate wood, so probably because of the sake of the mitzvah, the Isra of Bal Tashchis does not apply. That's what the Be'er Sheva writes as well. Makom b'makom mitzvah gedola, there's no Isra of Bal Tashchis, and his raya is that they used to cut down wood of te'ena and egos and eitz shemen l'tzorech atzei ha-ma'aracha, for the sake of the ma'aracha. So how were they allowed to cut all these things down for the sake of the ma'aracha? It must be that for the sake of a mitzvah gedola, the Isra of Bal Tashchis doesn't apply. Other achronim and the Mesharim and others are not so convinced that this is such a great raya, because it all depends how broadly you define the Isra of Bal Tashchis. It could be that the Isra of Bal Tashchis is only losashchis eseitza vaosolo sichros, that you're not allowed to completely cut down a tree, but cutting down branches of a tree may not be the Isra of Bal Tashchis. If that's the case, then we understand very well where they would get all this wood from. They wouldn't cut down the tree entirely, they would cut down branches from all the pomegranate trees. So it would come out kulaso chumraso, that if you're more makel with the definition of Bal Tashchis, that you say that cutting down part of a tree is not Bal Tashchis, well then you're going to be machmir, that we're never going to compromise on Bal Tashchis for the sake of a mitzvah. But if you're a machmir in the definition of Bal Tashchis, and you think even cutting down a branch of a tree is Bal Tashchis, well then you're going to have to be makel and say that b'makom mitzvah, the Isra of Bal Tashchis does not apply. It's interesting, the Yerushalmi, just a second point over here, the Yerushalmi says that the reason Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva disagree about the placement of the insides of the animal is because they're arguing about how to understand the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Shmos Parak Yud Beis, ki im tzli esh rosho al kira v'al kirbo. So it's al. So they argue about what the word al means. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds al means on top of, that the head should be al hakra'ayim v'akarbayim, which are inside of the animal, so the head is over them. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say, no, al means besamuch, that it means it should be nearby. So the head is near where you put the insides of the animal on the spit. So the Rishonim over here just point out, yes, that's the Pshat in the Yerushalmi. It does not seem to conform to the Mishnah, though. The Mishnah sounds like they're arguing about, is it an issue of bishul when you keep the insides inside the animal as opposed to outside of the animal? Not how to touch up a pasuk. It's an issue of how to define the issue of bishul. So I mentioned before, Rashi holds that this means that it would be lemala mipiv shel tled, that they would have the mouth of they would put the animal on the spit, and above the mouth, where the top of the animal was, that's where they'd have all the insides of the animal on the spit. The Rambam in Hilchos Karban Pesach Perches says a little different. He says, he describes how they would have the animal on the spit, and they would put it over the fire in the oven. And they would have the insides of the animal in the oven, chutzalo, outside of where the animal is. So it sounds from the Rambam that it's chutzalo, so Mary Kurka says, it sounds from the Rambam that he's cholik on Rashi, that it wasn't on the spit, it was somewhere else in the oven, it was in its separate place in the oven. So that's what it seems from the Rambam. The Rambam, in terms of paskening this halacha, the Rambam writes, Ketzat Tzolnoso, so we just pointed out exactly, he says, V'lo yitnim b'tocho shezekim in bishulhu. But you can't put the insides inside the animal, you can't leave it in, because that's like bishul. So the Rambam's paskening like Rabbi Akiva, which isn't so surprising. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, mechavero. Whenever it's Rabbi Akiva against an individual, we always pasken like Rabbi Akiva. What's a little bit surprising is Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash, in Shmos Perikid Beis, Pasuk Tes, says Tzaleu kulu ka'echad im rosho v'im krav v'im kirbo u'bnei meyav nosin l'tocho achar hadachasan, that after you rinse out the insides, you put it back inside the animal. So Rashi paskens like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So the Achronim on Rashi, the Mizrahi, says, wait a second, how can you pasken like Rabbi Yossi Aglili against Rabbi Akiva? The rule is like the Rambam pasken, that halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero. So the hagos of the Baruch Tam on the Tzlach, on the Nodavi Tzlach, is Mitaritz for Rashi the following creative chiddush. He suggests that this machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili is talui in another machlokas in Shas. There is a machlokas that we've had earlier in Daf Mem Aleph between the Chachamim and Rebbe. What if you don't roast your Karban Pesach over an open fire, you do Tzli Kedar. You roast it in a pot. You do a pot roast, so it's sitting in a pot. There are no extra juices added in, but it's cooking in its own juices. Is that called bishul or not? So the Chachamim hold that's not considered bishul. Rebbe holds that's considered bishul, and therefore you cannot do that with your Karban Pesach. So it could be that Rabbi Akiva holds that to put the kra'ayim inside the animal is considered derech bishul, only because he holds like Rebbe. He says that's exactly like Tzli Kedar, just like something inside of a pot, this is inside of the animal, so it's not exposed to the fire, so that's an issue of Bishul. But we don't pasken that way. We pasken like the Chachamim, that Tzli Kedar b'Pesach is mutter, that it counts as Tzli. So that maybe that's why Rashi wants pasken like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because that aligns with the Shita of the Chachamim that we pasken like. So it's not Halacha Krebi Akiva Mechavei Ro. Over here it's Mechavei Rav. You have the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Akiva. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Ein tzolin es ha-pesach lo al shvud v'lo al ha-askela. We don't roast the Karban Pesach on a metal spit, nor on a griddle. Amar Rabbi Tzaduk, Maisab Ram Gamliel, Sha'amar l'tavi avdo. There was a story with Ram Gamliel, told his servant Tavi, Tzeyut tzle lanu es ha-pesach al ha-askela. He had him roasted on a grate. He had him roast the Karban Pesach for him on a grate. So the Maritz Chayis points out from here, this is one of his rayas in the Chuvus of the Maritz Chatz Chayus, that the Tanaim, even after the Churban Abayis, were bringing in Korban Pesach, because the Rabban, there were several Rabban Gamliels, but the Rabban Gamliel that had the servant Tavi, he lived after the Churban Abayis, and apparently he brought a Korban Pesach, because it says that he had his Korban Pesach roasted on a grill. The Rashash is not so convinced. He thinks Rabban Gamliel was not Makrav a Korban Pesach. It says over here he was, but the Gemara Maseches Beitz, Daf Chaf Beis, says that they would make a Gedima Kulos on Leilei Pesach, and we discussed a little bit whether that's Mutter or Asr, maybe it's Talian Minhag, that some places had a Minhag that they would Dafka make a Gedima Kulos on Pesach. So maybe that's what Rabban Gamliel would do. As a Zecha LeMikdash, he would make a Gedima Kulos, he would prepare an animal exactly the way we would prepare a Korban Pesach, and would bring in a Raya from how he would have his servant prepare it when he was trying to make it just like a Korban Pesach. So the Rashash is not convinced that it's necessarily a Raya that he would actually bring an actual Korban Pesach after the Churban Abayis. So says Gemara, V'nesi Shamatechas, why do we have to use a spit made out of pomegranate wood? Why don't we just use a metal spit? That's the way we normally roast things. So answers the Gemara, I did the Chamaktaso Cham Kulo, the Kamatvi Machmas Hashvud. Since metal is a conductor of heat, the inside of the spit that's inside the animal is going to be very, very hot, and that's going to be what roasts and what cooks the inside of the animal. V'rachmana Amar, but the Torah says, Tzli Eish, that the fire has to be directly cooking the animal. We don't want the metal to be cooking the animal, so we want something that's not a Kavalotzli Machmas Tavaracher, can't be roasted by something else, like by the metal, so we don't want something that's a good conductor of heat. So it says, okay, v'nesi shel dekel. So why does it have to be pomegranate wood? Why can't it be dekel wood? So I did the isli shivi, mapik maya vavik mavushal. Since it has these lines in it, it has like these striations in it, so water is going to seep out of it, and then it's going to be like it's cooking. Meaning if you have too moist of a wood, then when you cook using that wood, the moisture is going to come out of the wood, go into the animal, and it's going to be ki'ilu, you're cooking it rather than roasting it, because you have this minimal amount of moisture that of the hot water that's going to be cooking the animal. Okay, v'nesi shel te'eno. Why don't we take te'eno wood? So says Gemara, I did the mechal b'chal mapik maya vavle kamuvushal. Since it's a very soft wood, it has, Rashi describes, it has like a moach, like marrow inside of it. It's a very soft wood. It's not solid. So it's going to be also, it's going to be motzi mayim. Some water is going to come out of it, and therefore it's like bishel. It's not like roasting it. Okay, how about these other three types of wood? There are lots of types of wood that you can use. Says Marna, I did this pekitri mapik maya. Since that wood is not smooth, you won't get a smooth pull from it. There are knots in the wood, so those knots, moisture gets caught in those knots, and when you roast with that kind of wood, the moisture is going to come out of those knots, and it's going to cook it rather than roast it. So frek the Gemara, great, now that you've pointed out that having any knots in the wood is a problem, then we have a problem with pomegranate wood. Pomegranate wood also has knots in it. Well, she kitri, maybe we smooth it out by slicing it a little bit to smooth out the knots. Or maybe we're talking about a very young tree that has not yet developed the knots that normally would develop in the wood. So that's why you don't have to worry about the knots. So says the Gemara, yes, you don't have to worry about the knots, but there is, if you're taking a pole that you cut from a tree, at some point you have the spot where it was sliced from the tree, and that spot presumably will emit some moisture. So shouldn't you worry about that the moisture that comes out from the place where you actually cut it? So says Gemara, demakvik bepiski levar. Yeah, you're careful to keep that part outside of the animal. That part can't be inside of the animal, because einachinami, if that were inside the animal, there would be some moisture coming from it. Now there is a comment of the Kolbo, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef in Aruch Chaim in Hilchos Pesach. The Beis Yosef, the Kolbo writes that when we make a ka'ara on the night of the Seder, we put two cooked foods on the plate. One of them should be roasted and one of them should be cooked. The roasted one is a zecher to the Korban Pesach. The cooked one is a zecher to the Korban Chagiga. And he says, our minhag is, what do we make the roasted one out of? We make it out of a zroa. Why a zroa? It's a zecher to zroa netuya, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's outstretched arm when he took us out of Mitzrayim. But, he says, we have to be careful. The way we roast that has to be like all of the halachos of how you would roast a Korban Pesach. So he says, you're not allowed to roast it on a spit, on a metal spit, because you're not allowed to roast a Korban Pesach. So it's a Zechel of Pesach, and the Pesach wouldn't be roasted in such a way. You also can't roast it on a wooden spit, because most types of wood have some sort of moisture, and it would be a violation of Bishul. So it sounds like he takes it very seriously, that it has to be exactly, when we're doing a Zechel of Pesach, it has to be roasted exactly the way the Korban Pesach. You have to learn all these halachos to know exactly the way the Korban Pesach would be roasted. So he says the way to do it is he says you're allowed to roast it over coals, and you don't dafka need a shvud shel rimon, because that would be a tircha gedola, would be a tremendous tircha to actually find pomegranate wood. So he says open roasting over coals would be okay. So Max HaShekel says that even if you do it over coals, it's similar to the Korban Pesach, because even though the chachila were supposed to roast the Korban Pesach with the pomegranate wood, but if you do it over coals, it would be kosher with the Korban Pesach. So at least a b'dievet Korban Pesach we should do. We just shouldn't do something that is not even kosher b'dievet. So that's how they suggest. So what do we do b'zman hazeh? So if we have coals, it sounds like a great idea to roast it over coals. Most of the time, I think, I remember my mother growing up, she'd roast it over the gas stove. She would turn on the gas stove, take off and hold it over the fire directly. So the Shor Mitzvah Balach is not so excited about that. He says that the pasuk, the Rambam paskins that it's supposed to be that it's not good enough that it should be on a flame. It has to be a flame that's made out of eitzim. It has to be a flame that's made with firewood, not directly over a flame. So but I don't think most poskim have a problem with it. I think that's the minhag. What people do. Question is, can you actually just put it down on the grate? So that probably you can't do, because the grate is metal, so it's conducting the heat. You have to hold it over the fire. Now, how do you hold it over the fire? You stick a fork in it? Well, that's no good, because the fork is metal. So what they suggest is to somehow to peel off some of the meat from the bone, so you could actually hold it by the bone over the fire. So you don't need a fork. You could hold it with a utensil that's only holding onto the bone, and have the meat part over the fire and be roasted. So this is we take this seriously, that the Zechel of Pesach should be just like the Korban Pesach. What? Yeah, well, we don't do a gedima kulos. We'd have to have an iser to prepare a gedima kulos. But at least this way, the way it's roasted, at least, is a zecher to the Korban Pesach. Yeah, so says the Gemara, Mastisin delok Rabbi Yehuda. Our mission is against Rabbi Yehuda. Titania, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kshem Sheshvut Shalei Tzeno Nisraf, Chach Shvut Shal Matecha, Tzeno Martiach. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't understand. If a wooden spit is okay, because we see that the inside doesn't burn, meaning what happens with wood when you put it over fire? It burns. What happens with metal when you put it over fire? It gets really hot. Well, the wood inside the animal doesn't burn, so the metal inside the animal probably doesn't get really hot either. So it's unclear what he means by that. As the Gemara points out, Omer lo, the Chum said to him, what are you talking about? Zeh cham etzaso cham kulo, zeh cham etzaso eno cham kulo. Metal is a conductor of heat. That's the way it works. It's always going to get very hot on the inside. How can you ignore the fact that it gets very hot on the inside? It's I'm not so clear on what exactly Rabbi Yehuda meant by that. Okay, v'noso es krav, and we said you take the insides of the animal, and it was a machlokas, whether you put them back inside the animal, or whether you put them over the head of the animal on the spit. So Tana, Rabbi Shmuel Koreu Tuch Tuch. Rabbi Shmuel called it Tuch Tuch. But why did he call it Tuch Tuch? Because he held that you put it inside of the animal, and it made it, this is, what do you call it? Amanapia, right? That it's, he's saying Tuch Tuch, that's the sound that it made. It made Tuch Tuch, it sounded like that, like it was bubbling, because it was inside the animal as it was roasting. So that's what he called it. Rabbi Tarfon Koreu Gedima Kulis. Rabbi Tarfon called it a helmeted goat, because it looked like it was wearing a helmet, since he put all the Bnei Me'ayim over the head of the animal, so it was Ki'ilu, the animal was wearing a helmet. So Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Gedima Kulas Das Lechel B'Leilei Pesach B'Zman Hazeh. What is a Gedima Kulas that we're not allowed to eat on the night of the Seder B'Zman Hazeh? Which, by the same token, the Achrona point out, the Gemara could have asked, what is a Gedima Kulas that we had to eat on the night of the Seder B'Zman Shabbos Mishkayim? Or that we were not allowed to eat outside of the Korban Pesach when the Beis Hamikdash was Kayim, meaning as outside of Yerushalayim. So Kol Shatzalu Kulo Ke'echad, anytime you roast it in its entirety as one unit, that is a Gedima Kulas. But Nechtach mimenu ever. If one limb was cut off from the animal, nishlak mimenu ever. Or one limb that was presumably, the Gemara assumes it was cut off and was not roasted, but was boiled. Ein ze gedimakulas. That is not considered a gedimakulas. So says the Gemara, of course, the second example is not a gedimakulas. Hashta yeshlomer nechtach mimenu ever. The afagav the kamatvile bahadei amritlo. If when you cut off a limb from it, where you're actually roasting it together with the rest of the animal, it just happens to be separated from the animal, that's not a gedima kulas. Nishlak mi bayi, where you both remove a limb and then don't even roast it, you cook it instead, is there a havamina that would be a gedima kulas? Of course it's not a gedima kulas. So I'm Rav Shesha Shashalka b'mechubar. No, the point is that it's giving two different cases. The second case is not building on the first case. If either a limb were removed and roasted, or a limb were not removed, but it wasn't roasted either. It was cooked rather than roasted. It was boiled rather than roasted. In either one of those cases, it would not be a gedima kulas. So in the second case, the limb is still attached to the animal, so it's not a gedima kulas in that case. Now, is makulas ma'akev karban pesach? I mean, let's say you make a karban pesach and it's not makulas. Is it going to be kosher b'di'evet? So this is a machlokas in the Rishonim over here. The Balei Tosfos point out, b'shem the Riva, that the Gedima Kulos is only a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah l'chachila, but it's not ma'akev. And the Riva has three rayas to this idea that it's only a mitzvah l'chachila, and it's not ma'akev. One raya is from a Gemara that we're going to have later on Daf Peches Amid Beis. The Gemara is going to tell us, going to discuss cases where five different people have the hides of their Karban Pesach that are all mixed together, and after the Zrika, and then we look at the hides of the animal, and we find the Abel. We find a wart that was a mum on one of the hides. So one of these animals was a bal mum. One of these five Karbanos Pesach, five different groups that had their Karban Pesach mixed together, one of them turned out it was a problem, was a bal mum. So the halacha is that all of the Karbanos are thrown to the Beis HaSreifa, but nobody has to make a Pesach Sheni, because we assume that four out of five were Yotzei, so nobody makes a Pesach Sheni. So ask the Gemara, but wait a second, the guy that had the Karban that was a bal mum, the group that had the Karban that was a bal mum, they weren't Yotzei, they're So why don't we make them all make a Pesach Sheni? Because somebody didn't get their mitzvah. Shouldn't they have to make a Pesach Sheni? Gemara says, because it's not shaykh that you can be able to bring a Pesach Sheni, because even if everyone brings a carbon and makes it tonight, that if mine was the Balmum, then this should be a carbon Pesach. And if mine was a Tamim, then this should be a carbon Shlamim. Even if you make such a tonight, you still can't do that, because by every carbon Shlamim, there's a Chaz of a Shok that has to be given to the Kohanim. And you can't give it to the Kohen, because maybe it's a carbon Pesach. So you're giving your Kohen from a Basar of a Karban Pesach that he's not registered on. So the Gemara says, okay, so register him on it. So everyone should bring a Kohen, be Mishtatif together with the Kohen, and then make the Tanai. That if mine was the Balmum, this is a Karban Pesach, this Kohen is registered on this Karban Pesach with me, and if mine was the Tamim the first time around and I was already Yotzei, then this should be a Karban Shlamim. Give the Kohen the Chaz of a Shok as either B'Torah's Basar Pesach, because he's registered on it, or B'Torah's Chaz of a Shok, because it's a Karban Shlamim and he gets the Chaz of a Shok. So one way or the other, the Kohen's allowed to eat it, and that would solve all the problems. That's what the Gemara says later on. Says the Riva, wait a second, the Chaz of a Shok, a Zar, is not allowed to eat. A non-Kohen is not, a Chaz of a Shok of a Karban Shlamim, a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat. A Karban Pesach has to be roasted as a single unit in its entirety. If I take treif of meat, let's say, and I roast it together with my kosher meat, it's going to make my kosher meat treif, right? It's going to ruin my kosher meat. So the Chaz of a Shok, Klape Yisrael, is Asur, it's Macholos Asuros, he's not allowed to eat it. If the Karban Pesach has to be roasted as a single unit, the Chaz v'Shok is together with the Karban Pesach. So what kind of Eitzah is this that the Gemara is suggesting? That you're going to give the Chaz v'Shok to the Kohen, and that way, if it's Karban Pesach, so that's his Chelek of the Karban Pesach. And if it's Karban Shlamim, no problem, he's eating the Chaz v'Shok, it's my Matnas Kuna that I'm giving to him. What do you mean, if it's Karban Shlamim, then I'm not allowed, and I roasted it like I would roast the Karban Pesach, I'm not allowed to eat the rest of the animal either. It's a problem to eat the rest of it. So says the Riva, must be that what would they do? They would chop it up, and they wouldn't roast it as a single unit. Ah, you can't do that with the Karban Pesach. l'chadchila, you can't do that with the Korban Pesach. This is not a l'chadchila situation. There's a b'di'evet. So it's a raya, he says, that b'di'evet it would still be kosher, that it's only a din l'chadchila. The Achronim are not so convinced by this raya, because they point out that you could still be roast the whole Korban Pesach together and give the chaz v'shok, because the assumption is that when you roast something, the tam of the non-kosher food does not reach all of the meat that it's roasted with. It's only kedei netila. When you roast something, the tam only extends to the first inch or so of the meat that surrounds it. So you can give the chaz v'shok plus a kedei netila to the kohen and keep the rest for yourself. Maybe that's what the Gemara was saying. So Tzach says no. Tosos knew what they were talking about. When you have basar shamin, when you have fatty meat, we assume it goes beyond the kedei netila. We assume that the tam spreads throughout the entire thing. Whenever you have someone that wants to bring a korban, in the Gemara, they always says, I'm going to bring a chatas shemena. Why do they always say shemena, that I'm going to bring a fat one? Because by korbanos, we always try to make it a nice, good, fatty animal. You're supposed to bring the kind of korban that you would bring as a gift for a governor, for an important political official. So it's always supposed to be a fatty animal. So we have to worry that the chaz v'shok, the time of the chaz v'shok, would extend to the entire animal. Okay, so that's one raya of the Riva. The Riva brings another raya, that it's only a l'chadchila din that you need to make a gedima kulos, and it's not ma'akev, from a brisa that we're going to have in tomorrow's daf. The Gemara is going to say that if you cut the Korban Pesach and put it on coals, Rebbe says that that's called Sli'esh. So it sounds like even if you cut it entirely, chatach, that you cut it entirely, it's still called Sli'esh, it's still Yotzei the Chiyuv of Korban Pesach. And third raya, the Balei Tos, Tosa Rashba brings a raya, that the gedima kulos element is not ma'akev, because the Gemara says again in tomorrow's daf that if the part of the Korban Pesach touches the cheres of the tanur, touches the walls of the oven, so you peel off from the Korban Pesach the place where it touched the tanur, and you eat the rest of it, because that part, that place, is not called sli esh. So apparently, it doesn't have to be shalim b'shas sliyaso, that when you roast it, it doesn't have to be one complete whole unit. You could cut off a piece, and it would still be considered kosher for a Korban Pesach. So that's the sheet of the Balei Tosos, that's the sheet of the Rambam, that this din of gedima kulos is a din l'chadchila, but b'di'eved, it's not ma'akev. Rashi in tomorrow's daf seems to say otherwise. Rashi seems to assume that it's even ma'akev b'di'eved. So this is machlokas rishonim, but those are all the rayas of the Balei Tosos. Says the Gemara Vayter now. So Amar Rabba, Haim Mul Yisa, new topic. Haim Mul Yisa Sharia. If you stuff if you use meat as stuffing, raw meat as stuffing, that's mutter. Amle Abayiva Kabbalah Dama. How can you use raw meat as stuffing? Isn't it going to be Balea Dam? The meat is raw, it has dam, so the everything around it, all the meat around it, is going to be Balea. The dam is going to absorb the blood from that meat. Amalei Kabbalah Kach Polta. Yeah, but the same way it absorbs the dam, it also expresses the dam. The dam will come out of it. That's a general rule in halachos of being machshir kelim, that Kabbalah Kach Polta, that whatever level of heat something would absorb in, it would also discharge whatever tam through that same level of heat. So we assume that just like it's Balea, it's also Polet. So says the Gemara, name of Messiah, maybe we'll bring a Raya. By the way, some Sofer says you bring a Raya from here, like the Shita that holds that there's a Machlokas in the Gemara in Menachos. If you cook Dam, is that Aser? There's an Isser to eat Dam in the Torah. What if the Dam is cooked? Is that an Isser Dal Raisa of eating Dam? So the some Sofer says, you see from here that Dam Shabishlo is Aser Min HaTorah. Because if you were to say that it's only Asa Midrabanan, how can we prove Kibolo Kach Polto from the fact that you're allowed to use the stuffing? Maybe for the sake of the mitzvah, you're allowed to stuff it with raw meat, because Kibolo Kach Polto, we're dealing with cooked dam anyway, which would only be an Isser Drabanan. So maybe in a Chinami, the dam is still there, but it's only Asa Midrabanan. And for the sake of the mitzvah Daraisa, the Rabbanan didn't have the right to make the Korban Pesach differently. So it must be that the Gemara is working with the assumption that a taka is an isudar raisa, even when you have cooked dam. But anyway, it says my name is Sayele. Maybe we have a riot to this idea of Kabbalah Kach Polto. No sin's crevice b'nei me'ev l'tocho. We put the insides of the animal inside of it. My time, Allah mishum damrin Kabbalah Kach Polto, isn't it because of Kabbalah Kach Polto? That's the line that some suffers riots from, that we apply it to Korban Pesach. So we say, no, Amri shayni hasam, kiven dika beis hashchita d'mechalchel made of daiv. No, you can't bring a raya from the fact that we're not concerned about the dam inside the Korban Pesach, because the way they would roast it is that the neck where the animal was sliced was facing down, so all the blood would drip right through that area where it was sliced open, so you don't have to worry that that it's being nivla into the meat that surrounds that area. Name of Masayele, so the Gemara says, okay, let's try another raya. Halev, the heart of an animal, Koro, you rip it open, umotzi es damo, and you take out the dam. Lo karo, karo lachar bishulo umutter. If you didn't rip it open in advance of roasting it, so rip it open after you roast it. I'm translating bishulo as roasting. Rashi says that's the havamina, that we're assuming it's talking about that you're roasting it, and you could rip it open after you roast it, and that also will get all the dam out of the heart. If you're interested in eating an animal's heart, that's the way to do it, to get all the dam out of it. So my time, alav misham damrin kabalu kach polto. Now why is that okay? Isn't it because we assume that whatever dam was nivla was also niflat, whatever dam was absorbed also went right out? So says more, no, shiny lev the shia, it has nothing to do with that. The heart we assume is very smooth and therefore doesn't have the ability to be balea anything in the first place. And when we said if you're mevashalit that after the bishul you could rip it open, yeah, it meant the bishul, it didn't mean roasting. You don't need to roast it, you could even be mevashal the lev, then rip it open, drain it of all of its dam, and you don't have to worry that the basar of the lave, that the flesh of the lave absorbed any of the dam, because the composition of the lave is such smooth meat that we assume it's not going to be balea anything. So we have this idea that there are certain things that are so smooth that they lack the ability to be balea anything. Rashi over here says that this is how we pass on the halacha, that the heart is so smooth that it's not balea anything, but Toso says that this is a dichoy bialma, the Gemara is just trying to reject a raya, but it's not really la halacha. That's what Toso writes over here, and in Maseches Chulin. The Ravya writes that klei zuchuchis, when you have glass utensils, they're not balea because they're smooth, very similar to what the Gemara says over here about the heart, that something that's totally smooth, that is a completely smooth surface, is not going to be balea anything. So that's how it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Sim Tafnu Nalef. And Echlas Pesach, when it comes to a klei zuchuchis that you use for chametz, Shulchan Aruch paskins, you're allowed to use the same glass you use for chametz, even if you're cooking it or whatever with all the heat and everything, you're allowed to use that same glass for Pesach, for matzah. You don't have to worry about the tam of chametz, because there is no tam of chametz. However, Shumas Hadeshin quotes the name of the smag, that klei zuchuchis of chametz should not be used for Pesach, because klei zuchuchis are like klei cheres. Klei cheres has the worst of both worlds. It's balea, but it cannot be polate. It can absorb, but it can never fully get rid of the flavor that it absorbs. So the machlokas about how to treat klei zuchuchis is from one extreme to the other. One extreme is that it can never become treif. Nothing ever is balea nivla into it. The other extreme is, no, it becomes treif, and there's no way to ever kasher it. There's no way to ever draw the time out of it. That's how the Trumas Hadeshen paskins. Now, the Ramah in Hilchas Pesach is machmir. Even the Shulchan Aruch is mekel, the Shulchan Aruch says no problem, the Ramah in Hilchas Pesach is machmir. So the poskim point out that in Gabi Hilchas Yayin Nesach, the Ramah is not machmir. The Shulchan Aruch is mekel, and the Ramah seems to be mekel as well. He's not cholik to be machmir. So how you answer that question in terms of the stira between Hilchas Yayin Nesach and Hilchas Pesach will determine how we treat glass in our kitchens. If you have a glass dish that you cook something in, are you allowed to use that for fleishigs and milchigs? If you assume like the Shulchan Aruch that it's never balea anything, so there would be no problem using it for fleishigs and milchigs. So Sfardim would certainly have no problem using it for fleishigs and milchigs, even though there are certain Sfardi poskim that say that there were certain communities, Minak Baghdad, other places, where there were no egg to be machmir for the Ramah. And the Chuvas Rav Palim, he says that they used to kasher it with the Ira Gimel Pamin. They would pour over boiling water over it three times as a way of kashering it, sort of as a compromise approach. But pashtus is svardim could be makel, can use glass for both milchik and fleishik with no problem whatsoever. But what about the Rama? Why is it that when it comes to Hilchas Yayin Nesach, he says you kept the Yayin Nesach in the glass all these years or whatever, and it's fine. Don't worry, you could still use that glass for whatever you want. But when it comes to Hilchas Pesach, he's machmir that it's no good. So one approach in Achronim is Chumrah de Pesach, that we have Chumras of Chametz, and this is one of the Chumras of Chametz. But by all other Yisurei Torah, we don't have to be so machmir, which would mean that it would be no problem to use glass for both milchiks and fleishiks, because it's only a din in Chumrah de Pesach. The other approach is no. By Yayin Nesach, what are we talking about? There's no heat. You're not cooking in it. Yayin Nesach is just that it sits in the kli for a very, very long time, which normally would be enough to be nivla a little bit when you have a liquid sitting in a kli for a long time. Maybe we're more makel over there because there's no heat. But anytime you're using heat, anytime you're cooking with something, that something's actually used in an oven or something like that, you put hot food on it, maybe then we'd have to be machmir just like we are Be'ilchus Pesach. So I think the minhag is that we're machmir l'chadchila not to use anything that's normally used with heat, not to use, they have the glassware that you cook in, that you put in the Pyrex, right, not to use Pyrex for both milchigs and fleishigs. I think we're knowing to be machmir on things like that. But drinking glasses, the minhag Yisrael, I think, was always to be makel, because drinking glasses where you don't put hot flesh, even if you were to once in a while put a hot tea or something in a drinking glass, you don't put hot fleshigs or hot milchigs in a drinking glass. So the assumption is, I think, that we're, especially since there's a significant sheet in Rishonim which conforms to the Metzius, by the way, that it's not balea anything, that glass isn't balea anything. So it seems that the minhag is to be makel with drinking glasses at least. Okay, says the Gemara. So we were talking about hearts over here, not drinking glasses, but okay, close enough. So the Gemara says, "Vaharavin Saba Tafle Ahi Bar Gozla L'Rav." Ravin Saba breaded a bird for Rav to eat. Vamalei Imale Tafle Havlan Veichli. Says, oh, okay, if it's done really well, let me eat it. So he's obviously not worried about the dam shabo. So says Mari, he besmida de mafrir. No, because we assume the type of flour he used for the breading was very fine flour where the dam would seep right through it and wouldn't stick to it. Rava ikla the Beirish Kalusa v'tafle barabza. Rava went to the Beirish Kalusa and also they breaded for him a goose. Amri lo de chazise de zig kezuza chivra lo achli mine. He says, if I can't see that it's clear like white glass, I'm not going to eat from it. I need to see that there's no redness on it. V'salka daita kebolo kach polto ma'yir kizika filu kelo zignami. But if you say kebolo kach polto, that even if it was balea some dam, we assume the dam was niflat, who cares if it's perfectly clear? Even if it's not perfectly clear, it should be okay. So hasam b'chivrusa desharir. So says Gemara, there we're dealing with a type of flour that's not so less, that's a little bit harder, and therefore is not going to be polate. It will absorb the dam, but it's not going to express the dam as easily. V'hilchusa desmida bein asmik bein laasmik sharia. And we paskin that whether it's become reddened or not reddened, when we said before that it crumbles, the fine flour crumbles and lets the blood through, so we paskin that the blood will go right through it, will come right out of it, it's going to be mutter whether it appears to be red or not. The chivrasa is zikazuza chivra sharia ilo asir. But if you're dealing with the less fine flour, so then it really depends on whether and how it looks. If it looks clear, it's good. If it doesn't look clear, it's not good. The shar kamachim, what if you have a flour that's somewhere in between? It's not the finest flour, but it's not also the coarsest flour. So then asmik asilo asmik shari. Then it will depend if it's reddened or not reddened. Hai mul yisa, meaning it doesn't have to be perfectly clear, it's just a question whether it looks red or not. Hai mul yisa, manda asa afilu pumula tachas, umanda sharia filu pumala el. This mulyusa stuffing that they would stuff an animal with, even the one that says that it's usr, is even if the mouth is toward the bottom of the fire, where you would expect everything to drain out, and therefore it should be l'chora less of a problem. And the one that holds that it's mutter would hold, even if the mouth is facing up, where all the dam l'chora would stay inside of it. Vilchsa mulyusa sharia filu pumala el. We paskin that it's mutter, even if the mouth is facing up when you roast it. Umtsa beyu mizruki. three cases of Umtza, Be'i, and Mizruki. We'll see what they are in a second. Pligi Ravacha v'Ravina. In these three cases, Ravacha and Ravina have a machlokas. Bekala Tarukula, as a rule you should know, in Kala Tarukula, Ravacha l'chumra v'Ravina l'kula. Whenever you have a machlokas, Ravacha and Ravina, Ravacha is always the machmir one, Ravina is always the mekel one. V'hilchsa k'Ravina l'kula, and we always paskin, like Ravina, the more mekel one. Levar mehani tlas, except for these three cases that we just identified and we're about to explain, the Rav Acha l'kula, v'Ravina l'chumra, where Rav Acha is more mekel and Ravina is more machmir, vilchsa k'Rav Acha l'kula, and we paskin l'kula like Rav Acha. So what are these three cases where you have this unusual situation that Rav Acha is more lenient, but we're going to paskin like him, we're going to paskin like Rav Acha? Number one, Hai umtsa da asmik, a piece of meat that turned red from blood. Chatche umalche, afilu lekadei rashari. If you cut it open and you salted it, even to cook in a pot, even if you're not going to roast it, normally we assume roasting draws out the blood, but even if you're not going to roast it, you can cook it in a pot, that's mutter. Shafte bishvuda, shari. You want to put it on a spit and roast it? Also good. Made of dayev, we assume the blood drips down from it. Achte agumri, if you roast it on coals, so pligi be Ravacha Ravina. That's the machlokas, Ravacha Ravina, where we're going to see that Ravacha is more mekel. Chad asar v'chad shari. Ravina was machmir, and Ravacha was mekel. Mandi asar mitzmas samis, umandi shari mishav sha'iv. The machlokas is, the one that says that it's asar assumes that when you roast something on coals, it contracts a little bit, so the blood just sort of gets stuck in there. When the other one says, no, when you roast it on coals, it draws out the blood from it. Vilchsa mishav sha'iv. We assume it draws the blood out from it, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Similar machlokas v'chein bei. If you're roasting, if you want to cook the testicles of an animal, chavchinu umalchinu afilu l'kedei resharyan. If you cut it open and you salt it, then you could even cook it in a pot. Very similar to the last case. Talinu b'shvuda sharyon. If you roast it on a spit, then you don't even need to cut it open and salt it. It's mutter. Made of dayev, the blood drips out. Achtinu agumri. You want to cook it on coals. Pligi be Ravacha v'Ravina. That's machlokas Ravacha and Ravina. Chad asar v'chad shari. Again, Ravina's machmir, Ravacha's mekel. This is case number two, Ravacha's more mekel. Manda asar mitzmas tzamis, manda shari mishav shav, and it's the same machlokas. What is the effect of roasting on coals? Does it cause it to contract? Does it cause it to shrivel up and the blood to stay inside? Or does it actually draw the blood out? V'chein, third case, mizruki. Neck arteries. If you cut it open and you salt them, so great, you can even cook them in a pot. Talia b'shvud, you put them on a spit, made of da'iv, and you have the place where it was shechted facing down into the fire, so that's mutter, because we assume the fire draws out all the blood. Achte agumri, pligi Ravacha v'Ravina. But to roast it on coals, again, that's the machlokas. Chad asar v'chad shari, Ravina's machmir, Ravacha's mekel, manda asar mitzmas tzamis, umanda shari mishav shav, and they're arguing about the same thing. What is the effect of roasting on coals? V'ilchsa mishav shav, we assume that roasting on coals draws out the dam, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Hai umtza da asmik chalya asar, lo asmik chalya shari. If we have, it's also to eat the gravy of a piece of meat that turns red from blood. If the gravy turned red from blood, it's asr. If the gravy did not turn red from blood, it's mutter. Ravina amar afilu lo asmik nami chalya asir, ef shadalas be shirai kidama. Ravina says that even if it didn't turn red from blood, it's going to be asr, because it can't be that there's no blood in the gravy. There's got to be that there's some blood in there. Amle marbar amem le ravashi, abu megamea le gemui. Marbar amemar said to Ravashi, my father amemar used to eat this all the time. He would drink up all that gravy. He would love that gravy. Ikeda amri ravashi gufe megamea le gemui. Others say that it wasn't the report that Marbar Amemar said to Ravashi about Amemar, but Ravashi himself would drink up all the gravy. He thought it was fine, it was perfectly mutter. Amalei Marbar Amemar le Ravashi. Marbar Amemar also said to Ravashi about his father that Abba hay chalad de chalad pe chadazimna sulo tani chalad pe. When my father would soak roasted meat in vinegar, if he would never use the same vinegar to soak roasted meat in a second time around. Why not? Why is this any different than a weak vinegar? You're allowed to soak roasted meat in a weak vinegar, so why would it be a problem to use the same vinegar a second time around? It's just become weakened a little bit. It's just like a weak vinegar. Says Mara, no, there's a big difference. happens. When it still has its natural strength, that's good enough, even though it's naturally not that strong. But if it doesn't have its natural strength, then he's not allowed to use it again. So what is this isser? You're not allowed to soak it in vinegar? What's the problem with doing that? So this is Machlokas Rishonim. The Ran explains that itaka is an isser, that once the chometz loses its strength by the first soaking, it no longer has the ability to draw out the blood from the basar, and the blood that comes out from the basar while you soak it in the chometz is going to be nivla back into the basar, and the chometz is going to be asur because blood came into it. The basar is going to be asur because the blood went right, blood was not where it started, it came out and went right back in, was drawn right back into it. So that's going to be asur. So it's really an isser. But the Yad Yehuda's medayik from the Rif, that the Rif doesn't learn like that. That we're not saying that it's usser. What we're saying is, you cannot assume that the blood has been drawn out from it. He says it's like soaking it in water, meaning when you soak it in vinegar that's already been soaked, it's the same thing as soaking it in water, and therefore you can't make the assumption that the vinegar already drew all the blood out of it. That's how the Rush seems to understand as well, and therefore the chometz is still mutter, the vinegar is still mutter because it didn't do anything, it didn't draw any blood out, the basar is still mutter, all you got to do is roast it because it was unable to draw any of the blood out previously. Okay, we'll pick up Ezra Shem from the two dots tomorrow.